This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. Today, we're talking about one of my favorite things, actually, which is this idea that each of us has inside of us different sort of ego states or different ways of thinking about pain in our lives. And we're geeking out on one of my favorite couples therapists. His name is Terry Real. Laura's finally getting on the bus. It's a cool conversation. Stick around.
Hey, I started reading a new book. I've been kind of dorking out. I think I told you this earlier that I have a few people that I'm dorking out about. And I just started this new book and I really like the premise of it. It's called Magnificent Sex, which just grabs. I mean, I want to, again, take this on vacation and read it by the pool and get the looks that I get when I read my my professional development books by the pool. Like, yeah, but it's Lessons from Extraordinary Lovers, which I really love. And it's by Klein Platz. And is that true? Is it really by Klein Platz? Am I making that up? I should probably know who the author is before I start telling you. Yeah, it's by Peggy Klein Platz. But here's the deal that I really like. It's sort of like qualitative information where they're interviewing people who are saying, yes, indeed, I'm having magnificent, amazing sex. And they're pulling the themes out and they're interviewing these people. Mm. And then they're saying, all right, so what are the themes? What do we see here that's going on with people who are identifying that they're having kind of like light socket sex? And one thing that I really liked is they specifically interviewed LGBTQA plus individuals because they have had to.
LGBTQA. They're added an A now.
Yep. Plus.
A plus.
Uh huh. And I might be missing. I might be missing a letter or two. I actually don't know. I'm assuming that the A is asexual at the end, which is why I had said. But I'm kind of intrigued by this. So I'm going to put this out there. If we have any listeners who are professionals who specialize in working with individuals who identify as asexual, if you yourself kind of consider yourself, either asexual and kind of an expert on the topic, I want to talk to you. I'm so curious about that. Had somebody ask me, send a question in specific to what do you do when you're in a relationship, like a marriage, and one of you identifies as asexual? I want to know more, and I want to utilize our audience and see if we have anybody out there that says, yep, I indeed am an expert.
Okay.
Anyway, going back to Magnificent Sex, they specifically interviewed LGBTQA plus individuals because they are out of the sort of vanilla spectrum and have had to really intentionally look beyond the boundaries of what societal norms are when it comes to sex and sexuality and expand beyond. And with that comes greater conversation, greater trust. It's interesting because in the book, she mentioned something that you talk about a lot, which is with BDSM, needing to have a lot of conversation, like clear communication, clear boundaries, clear trust. Mm-hmm. And that's really important in relationships and having magnificent sex. But I just wanted to share that I'm really enjoying this book. I'm dorking out on it. And I've just now taken up all of your time talking about my latest obsession.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm not really dorking out on anything.
Are you reading right now? Are you reading anything? I know that you're a reader.
I start lots of books. In fact, I start lots of things. I'm having a hard time concentrating. these days, but yeah. That's unrelated to whether or not I'm dorking out on stuff. I'm not really reading. I did get a new book that I'm excited about, but Abby stole it because she wanted to use it for her psych project that she has due before the end of fake school.
Fake school. Oh boy. Oh boy. My son right now is he's working through a Kumon. You know what Kumon is? Does that ring a bell at all? Okay, he's working through a Kumon grade 3 math workbook right now. And the kid is not even in kindergarten yet. I have to send you this video because to watch my preschooler walk me through how to do like, I don't know, 3 or 4 number subtraction problems, like subtracting 1500 from 3,300 or something like that, watching him carry the one and then explain to me like, and then I have to do this. It's just, man, my heart swells. I'm like, you are such a dork. You are a dorky little boy and I love you to pieces.
Meanwhile, this is what I get from my kid. There are 7 girls on a bus. Each girl has 7 backpacks. Each backpack has 7 big cats. Each big cat has 7 little cats. How many legs are on the bus?
Does she send that to you?
Yeah.
Did you work through it? Did you figure out how many? Okay, hold on. Listeners, don't tell the answer. Listeners, send us your answers. Send us your answers. I'm curious.
Sure.
All right.
There are 7 girls on a bus. Each girl has 7 backpacks. In each backpack, there are 7 big cats. Each big cat comes with 7 little cats. How many legs are on the bus?
So can I, it sounds like you have 7 girls, 7 cats, 7 big cats, 7 little cats, right?
Rebecca, so Mary sends us this text and says, hey, family, we have a family one. She's like, do this riddle. And Rebecca goes, no, too many cats.
Yeah.
We're not a pet. We don't have pets. We're not a pet family.
Yeah. If it was, there are 7 shih tzus, I would have been like, no, nope, nope. That's a hard no. You had me at shih tzu. Okay. Here's what I want to talk about because I am dorking out about something else. It's not a book I'm reading. It is the 4th time I have listened to Fierce Intimacy. And if our listeners are wanting to just have something to listen to, that's a new point of view, a new perspective. And I've been sending you these text messages where I have been dorking out on Terry Real's sort of theoretical concepts of relationships. And your response to me is like, welcome to the party, Laura.
This is who you are. You are Rebecca in this way. I'm like, hey, Reb, we should totally watch this movie. And she's like, no, that movie looks terrible. And then like 2 years later, she comes back and says, you know, my friends told me I should watch this movie.
And I watched it like, 8 times.
And I watched it and I'm like, you dirty rat. No. Yeah. So I've been geeking out on Terry Real, or I've been familiar with Terry Real for probably 25
really?
Years, maybe 20 years. Yeah. So he came on the scene in the late 90s when he wrote a book called
Men, Depression.
No, hold on. He wrote a book called I Don't Want to Talk About It.
Yes.
Which was the first kind of book about male depression, which at the time in psychological circles, depression was seen as kind of a weakness or like a woman's disease. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of broke the ground there. And then a couple years later, he wrote a book called How Do I Get Through to You? How can I get through to you? Which was basically written for the wives of the men that bought the first book. Mm-hmm. And so at a time when I was becoming familiar with my own depression, and then also Rebecca was needing to, like, he was a big sort of resource for us. And the work that he did thrust him into sort of a couples spectrum. Like, he's a much more of a couples therapist now than he is an individual therapist. Mm. And he has been pioneering kind of this methodology for, I'm going to say, I don't know. It's called relational life therapy. Mm. It's probably got 15 years or so of like real energy around it. And you can get certified in RLT. And I think I'm not going to get certified, but I've finished 1, 2, and 3.
Wow. So you can dork out on this.
I can. And I like him a lot because as you've noted, one of your texts you sent, you said, it's basically the same stuff as John Gottman, but said a different way.
Yeah.
I feel like what John does really well is sort of math and science. Mm-hmm. And what Terry does really well is like literature and art. Hmm. And if you're fluent in both, you can keep the core sort of themes.
Right.
And then dance around quite a bit based on whoever you're talking to.
Yeah. So. Well, the one thing that I think has been really helpful in the conversation I've been having with couples a lot lately, and if you are one of my couples, you're going to say, yep, Laura totally talked to me about this. I have been introducing this idea of what Terry Real talks about as like the adaptive child. And I'm going to explain it in the words that I understand it. And I would love to hear you sort of explain it since you've gone further with this training and you've been just your years down the road, very, very far down your gray wise years.
You're just so, so much older.
So much
and
older
closer
and wiser.
To death.
Yeah. But the adaptive child is what I think of as it's like the very first, it's that instinctual response that we go into when we go into fight, flight, or fix is what he kind of talks about. So we have our, sort of logical brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is going to be more of the second consciousness that he talks about, which I kind of describe as like the adult you. It's the adult human you that is able to show up in relationship. Is that accurate?
Okay, cool. Do you want me to like wait for you or do you want me to?
No, I want you to dive in. Please interrupt me.
Okay. Yeah. So, the adapted child is exactly what you're describing, but it's one of three ego states that he talks about. And the adapted child is the strategy that we use to respond to the wounded child. Mm. And the wounded child is the one of us that is like raw, you know, emotional, reactive. It's the one that rages. It's the one that, you know, doesn't think logically. And all of us learn strategies probably around 13, 14, 15 to protect ourselves from the wounded child.
Can I ask you a question? Is the wounded child what John and Julie Gottman talk about as like the enduring vulnerability that we have?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All yeah. right. So here's what we're doing. We're just using like different language to describe basically the same thing.
Yeah, but this is also, like you said, nothing new under the sun. I mean, Freud started this, right, with kind of id, ego, superego. Or he didn't really start it, but he kind of pioneered at least kind of the three ego state mentality. And then transactional analysis, which we've never quite talked about, in the 70s came up with this idea of parent, adult, child. Mm. And the way Terry has framed it is the wounded child, the adapted child, and then the functional adult.
Functional adult. There we go.
Which is the thing, the adult you. And what he does, which is kind of different, is he will say straight up that he takes sides in couples therapy. Like he takes the side of the more vulnerable partner. And sometimes he takes the side of the functional adult when it's the wounded child or the adapted child that's showing up. So it's really intriguing to watch him do it live because he'll literally say, hey, can I talk to your wounded child? And start talking to this like 3-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy who's hiding in the closet being traumatized by his dad. But yeah, I want to hear you talk a little bit more about your idea of the adapted child, because what he also does in terms of the functional adult, I think is really brilliant and would be a cool thing to have you speculate about how you might add it into your practice.
The way that I find this to be really helpful is asking couples to think about like the last time they got into it, they got into that nasty dance that they get into. And the last time they showed up and they know that they weren't showing up as their best self. They totally got flooded. They raised their voice. They got angry. Everything escalated. And thinking about when you were in that fight, flight, or fix moment, who showed up? And so I think what Terry Real says is when we get flooded, we go into our adaptive child. And how our adaptive child shows up is different for everyone. But I really like when he says, take some time and identify the characteristics, like describe to me who this adaptive child is and use 3 to 5 adjectives to describe who shows up in these moments when you are angry and resentful and maybe like, I mean, I don't even know. Have you gotten in touch? Like, have you described who your adaptive child is, where you go?
Well, I have a pretty good idea. The adaptive child is, the part of us that tends to overdo it. Like sometimes they tend to overserve, like I'm going to be the kindest, nicest, you know, most helpful person on the planet. It's like the brown noser at school, mm-hmm. sort of. Mm-hmm. Or they might like overeat, or they might overcompete, or they might overdrink, or they might sort of overstudy. You know, it's kind of the one that I'm gonna overcome this.
Yeah.
Versus really get familiar with it and work with it. And the thing about the adapted child is it's really useful, and the best parts of it can be really, really helpful in terms of avoiding pain, but it doesn't draw you into maturity, right? It doesn't draw you into the functional adult. It kind of hinders you. And so I think it is a really good idea to do what you're doing, which is to say, hey, who's here? Like mm-hmm. who is in this argument right now? Mm-hmm. What's funny is I have this one couple, and they're totally eating me up right now. They're like, Zach, you're so amazing. And that doesn't really do anything for my ego.
But you, like, got them really hosed.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
But I think the reason is because I reflected something to them that they never had words for. Mm-hmm. And it was basically this. I was like, do you realize that when you start to argue, you're basically singing? Like, there's a melody to your argument.
Yeah.
And they're both like theater people. Mm-hmm. And so, or like media people, radio people. And they understand performance a great deal. And they're like, We're totally dropping into our little performance mm-hmm. mode that helps us feel special, you know? Mm-hmm. And so with them, and I think this is the thing that I love about Terry, is he'll say something like, look, your adapted child is welcome here. Like, they're allowed to be here, but it's the responsibility of the functional adult to say, hey buddy, you need to sit in the back seat. You can't drive.
Yeah.
Cause if you drive, we're going to crash this car. Mm. And so take your hands off the steering wheel, and here, let me buckle you into the back. I got you. I'm here for you. Like, mm-hmm. I'll get us into the car and we'll get where we're going. Mm. And he really like articulates that out loud.
Yeah.
So that you can sort of recognize that it's not your job to crush or kill or banish the adapted child or the wounded child. It's your mm-hmm. job to care for them. Mm. And frankly, to care for your partners, right? Mm. Like, when Rebecca's shows up or mine shows up, we have an option to be really annoyed by that and go, that this is so stupid. I can't believe how childish you're being mm-hmm. would be a way that might come up.
Right.
Or I can say, hey, something's up. Like, what's happening right now? And do we need to, how can I help you like step yeah. into your better brain? Which is different than how can I help you grow the fuck up? You know, like,
yeah, I like that, because that seems to me, if you are in agreement as a couple that the two of you have a common goal, like you want to solve a problem, you want to stay connected, you want to remain empathetic to one another, which means that your adaptive child does not get a seat at the table between the two of you. This is an adult only conversation. Yeah. So if that's the common goal, and let's say it's you and Rebecca, and you notice like, oh, here comes Rebecca's, you know, adaptive child. And I like to name them. I like to give them nicknames, like some sort of childhood nickname. Maybe it's Reeb or whatever. But so you recognize that something has triggered her adaptive child to sort of like show up and try and take over. And
so here's a really good example of this.
Okay.
Specific to Rebecca, Rebecca and her mom have a pretty interdependent relationship. I might have once called it codependent, and unhealthy, but it's come a long way since this story that I'm about to tell you, which is that mom used to live out of town and would come into town for like extended stays, like 10 days or so. And for those 10 days, Rebecca would drop into like, I'm a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
And would totally become a pleaser and kind of manic. And, you know, everything I did was problematic because I didn't like her mom. And, you know, the kids were sort of not a priority because she was trying to be, she was being a daughter, not being a mom. And so that became very, very annoying to me. And I would get really upset about it. And it would ruin our 10 days and probably the week after until we finally named it and said, oh, when she comes into town, you drop into this space, you don't have the tools to come out of it at the moment. Cause we were in our early, you know, late 20s, probably, or early 30s. And finally I was just like, cool. So now we know when mom comes, I just don't care about anything you say or do. I take care of the kids. We don't argue. And when she leaves, we let the balance come back.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about this?
Yeah.
Is the reason that Rebecca drops into her adaptive child because there is something is happening, like her wounded child, there's a wounded child in there. And so the adaptive child is saying, oh, okay. So you're experiencing this discomfort, this pain, this whatever it might be. And here's how the adaptive child is going to go ahead and manage you. So it's like you have a wounded child that's alone in the closet. The adaptive child comes in and is like, oh, I know how to help make you feel better. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and busy ourselves and we're going to completely disengage from the family. And we're going to go spend just copious amounts of time at the neighbor's kid's house. And so the adaptive child has learned to completely disengage from interaction with people who they love in order to avoid pain. So that's the adaptive child. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Like, and so in some ways, my chosen strategy to sort of disengage is the adaptive child, but it was done in conversation between two functional adults, Rebecca and I going, hey, this kind of happens. Seems like it happens with some regularity. We know that it could create a lot of tension for us. How about we just choose this instead rather than, and let me say one more time, in the last 10 or 15 years, Rebecca and her mom and me have all come a very long way. Like this is not strategy that we currently are experiencing a lot, but at that time we didn't have the emotional intelligence or the maturity to do the like sort of core muscle work of healthy differentiation and, you know, setting clear boundaries and blah, blah, blah. Incidentally, that's another big part of Terry's philosophy is this idea of basically he's got this one model that has shame on one axis and sort of boundaries on another axis.
Yep.
And, you know, the goal is to kind of stay right in the crosshairs.
Right.
But on the boundary side, there's either I have very, very walled up boundaries that no one is going to penetrate or I'm like Swiss cheese, which means I'll give you anything you want. And so, Rebecca and I were probably on opposite ends of that boundary line
where you were walled off and she was Swiss cheese.
Yeah. And until we both kind of came into the middle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we live now, which is healthy for us, healthier for us. Yeah.
I do want to address something because I know a lot of our listeners, you know, what's really cool. I'm learning more and more that there are husband and wife teams and wife teams and husband teams that are listening to our podcast together. Like they are using this as a tool in their relationship, which is so cool. But I know that the vast majority of you, it's one person that is listening to the podcast that is entertained or maybe doing some personal growth or wants to work on their marriage, but they're doing it by themselves. And the part that I really like that's helpful is you, if you're doing this by yourself, getting really clear on your adaptive child and getting really clear on when you need to step into your functional adult and and understanding that. But the thing I love about Terry Real is he says, look, like you get to be your adaptive child. You can absolutely show up as your adaptive child, but you don't get to both show up as your adaptive child. And that one kind of blew my mind because if you're working on this alone, you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, okay, I got this. I can choose in these moments, my functional adult. I can choose to cool off and enter into conversation, but I don't have control over my partner. And if my partner is showing up in their adaptive child, that means that I don't have a choice of whether or not I get to be in my adaptive child. I have to choose the functional adult in that moment, because only one of us gets to be in their adaptive child at one time. And I really liked that, because you can de-escalate a situation if you are in your functional adult and your partner is showing up and they are completely flooded and they are completely reactional. And I like that. I think that that gives me a sense of power in the relationship, knowing that I have a choice and I have the ability to just, I guess, cool the conversation or repair when my partner is not in that moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I'm just drawing on experience, and this happens to be one thing that happened yesterday that was going to make me look good and Rebecca look bad, but that's just a circumstance. But yesterday the kids were driving her crazy. I was out here in the office working. I went inside to say something. I kind of flitted in and flitted out for, you know, 10 minutes or so. And on the way out the door, she said something that was just really mean. And I knew exactly what was happening, which is she was overwhelmed by the kids and disappointed and stressed out about, you know, the current state of the world and blah, 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 blah. And I just came down and I just sat here at my desk and I typed her and I go, look, I get that you're upset and that you're, that lots going on. And I'm sorry that I triggered you. But there's really no reason for you to talk to me like that. I think exactly what I said was, I understand that you're upset and frustrated. And then when that happens, you go to meanness, because she does. Mm-hmm, that's what her Enneagram 2 does, which is a conversation for another day. But, and I just said, hey, I get it. I know that you go to meanness, but there's really no reason for you to talk to me like that. And, and when I come back in, I'm going to let's just be okay. Yeah. And she was like, totally. I was about to apologize anyway. Da, da. But I think that's the functional adult who shows up and says, I understand what's happening now.
Yeah.
I think this is important. I think we ought to talk about it, but we have to talk about it like grownups. We can't do it like this. You know? Yeah.
I don't talk a lot about parenting your partner, but I talk a lot of the difference between a lover and a mother. And your partner does not want you to be their mother. As much as they want you to do their laundry and pick up after them and remind them that they have a doctor's appointment, they don't want you as a mother. They want you as a lover.
It is the easiest way to infuriate me is to parent me.
Yeah. Believe me, I've done that many a times, and I'm sure I have infuriated you by mothering you.
Yeah, but and so have my kids. Like when my kids parent me, it's the easiest way. We all have all the ego states. Mm. Even Holden has a functional adult in there. Like there's a functional adult inside a 5-year old too.
Yeah.
And it's just the responsibility of, well, I don't want to go to parenting, but like, let's get to know him. Mm. Let's let him get to know him. Mm. You know, that's what I'm doing with my 17-year-old and my 13-year-old. Which might be even harder than a 5-year-old, but
I'm not there yet. I don't want to think about my son as being, you know, sort of like a parent, or he's just my little baby. You have to see.
Okay. But before we came on though, you were talking to me about how he's like working through this math stuff. Like he's really working through it, and that he's not slamming his pencil down. He's not saying, I can't do this. Right. He's just like muscling through this.
No, 100%. He gets frustrated. We're working on, are you familiar with Carol Dweck's, this is a long podcast. We're in the flow.
I have no idea. I don't have a timer.
We're already at like 27 minutes, but have you heard of Carol Dweck, growth mindset?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Versus like fixed mindset or something.
Yep. Yep. So there's like a growth mindset right, and then there's fixed mindset. I think the book itself is just called Mindset. And Holden tends to fall into a fixed mindset, which is he feels very competent. And the moment he experiences anything that sort of like shows like, hey, you actually didn't get this problem right, he goes into a bit of like a rage. He does slam his pencil down and he does say, oh, this is just the worst day ever. That's my little boy, because he didn't do 15 minus 8 correctly. And so I'm really trying 7. To coach him out of what an idiot. trying to coach him out of this fixed mindset. I've mentioned her book before, right? It's great.
Yeah.
Hey, let's land this plane because I'm going to lose a babysitter here in like 4 minutes. So I got to finish it up. Can we dork out a little bit more on Terry Real?
Anytime. Yeah, right. I've been trying to get you to do it for like years. So it's fun to actually have this conversation.
I don't love his live teaching, but I do really appreciate. So for people who are listening, if you look up Fierce Intimacy, it's he's speaking not to the therapist. He's speaking to the individual or the couple. And it's not a book. It's like a live teaching. And I think it's his best work that he's done because it is hard. It is painful to watch him teach.
Yeah. And his marriage text, it's called The New Rules of Marriage.
Yeah.
And I recommend it a lot. The other thing that's really cool about him and that I resonate is he's kind of a feminist, like is really about empowering women in particular, because marriage wasn't invented for women. Marriage was invented for men. And so he's trying to level the playing field a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for diving into my latest obsession with me.
Yeah, no problem.
I know I'm just like 3 years late on this, but I'm here. I showed up.
Cool.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to check out our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. Sign up for our newsletter because every once in a while, we will send you an email with a good dad joke here or there and some news on what we have going on. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.